In a minute, before we start on the lesson, there's kind of housekeeping things that I'd like to say. Usually, I never start with this sort of introduction. I usually just kind of what Marty did this lesson is, or this morning is what I usually do with my lessons. But there's a few things I did want to say before we got started. The first thing is like this. Although Barry forgot, Barry only thinks I've been here for like a year and a half. This is actually I've been here for 4 full years, and the first Sunday of March is kind of when I started here, and so every first Sunday of March is kind of a reminder for me just how good you guys have been to me. And I said you guys so that you don't hear the word y'all. But how good y'all have been to me, how much y'all mean to me, how much you've helped me grow, how much you've helped me be who I need to be, and it's been a pleasure for me to work with you and to work together. But as we think of that working together and working as a group and as a body here, one of those things. One of the things that means is that we have these groups that are designated, and so there are 6 groups, and every month, if your name is up here, this is your month. But every month, there are some people who are in a group, and this happens twice a year. So if there are 6 groups, it's twice a year. It's your group's month to participate as a member of the body here. I had Marty giving me the hand there. 4 times, Marty. Oh, I thought you said 3. Thank you, Danny. All right. But as a member of the body here, this is how we work. This is part of how we work together. And so if you're here and if you're part of the group here and if you see your name up here, whether you're in group 3A or 3B, please make sure that after services you spend a few minutes in your group meeting, kind of spending time trying to figure out one of the groups focuses on members, the other group focuses on visitors. It's really important that as a group and as a body here collectively that we're all working together with this. And so again, if you see your name up here, and I'm giving you, as I'm saying all of this, it's helping you kind of scan and see if this is your month. If you see your name up here, please, it's for a month, just be a part of your group meetings. It'll help the group leaders. It'll help us as a body. It'll help us both help members and visitors here. And so keep that in mind. Another thing that I wanted to mention was Dave Hamlet sent out an email about a week ago or a few weeks ago wanting y'all to know that if there's any classes that you kind of want to either know about or any classes that you want advertised or publicized, please let him know so that we can do that and we can, again, let people know where we have different classes going in different areas. It's hard to really invite people to classes if no one knows where these classes are or who's doing the classes or when the classes are happening. So keep that in mind. Think about that. All right, let's jump into our lesson here. In the book of Exodus, so we're going to spend a little bit of time, really all of the lesson, in the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, it kind of breaks down pretty simply. You have really Exodus 1 through 12 is... You kind of see the 10 plagues, or really 1 through 15, because that's when God officially leads them out of the promised land. And then for a big chunk of it is really God giving the law to his people. But there's a question that's asked in the book of Exodus that really makes me think and helps me, at least me personally, it helps me understand what the book of Exodus is supposed to be about. And it's all centered around this idea of what the Exodus is about, or what the word Exodus means. And the idea is that leaving or the exiting a particular place. And as you think about the book of Exodus, this is just the way that I've broken it down as far as understanding the will of God in the book of Exodus. There's kind of 3 things that happens. The book of Exodus opens up and God's people that have been in Egypt, and they went to Egypt under good circumstances. God's people are in affliction. And in chapter 1 and in chapter 2, they're crying out to God because not just they're in affliction, but their babies are being killed. They're enslaved. Their lives are difficult. And so it says that God sees the afflictions of his people. And he doesn't just see their affliction, but he remembers the covenant that he makes with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And he decides through Moses, that's when he starts to get in chapters 3 and chapters 4, he decides through Moses that he's going to free the people. And so what God decides as he decides to free the people is, I want to free the people from their Egyptian captivity or from their slavery to Egypt, and I want them to serve me, or I want them to follow me. And if you've read the Exodus account, and my guess is a lot of people have, if you've ever read the 10 plagues and all of that, that's all happening because as God has this plan and as God has this will, there is a guy in the book of Exodus who dares defy God. And that guy is Pharaoh. And what I want us to do this evening is I want us to spend a little bit of time looking at the stubbornness of Pharaoh and kind of see, because Pharaoh tries to pit himself against God. And so I want us to spend a little bit of time looking at the stubbornness of Pharaoh against the sovereignty of God. And so as you think about the 10 plagues and as you think about the different stories in the book of Exodus, this is really going to be the idea. We're going to look at God, and particularly God and God's relationship with Pharaoh, and why is it that Pharaoh defies God? Why is it that Pharaoh is so stubborn? By the way, another word for stubborn is he makes himself hard. Or the way that the Hebrew would phrase it is he makes his heart heavy. You think about that idea there. As you think about stubbornness and as we think about the stubbornness of Pharaoh, part of the picture that I want you to think about is that God has this will, or God has this plan. And as God has this plan and this will that he wants enacted, as God has this will and this plan that he wants, remember, we saw the will here. God's plan is that all his people would be free, that all people would come and that they would leave their slavery to serve him. In the book of Exodus, you have a guy who's decided, no, God, you're not going to get your way. And in Pharaoh, you have a guy that every time God reiterates his plan and every time God reiterates what he wants, Pharaoh almost makes himself heavy. You kind of think about that idea. If someone's ever tried to pull you and you don't want to go, or you see a little kid who doesn't want to get pulled, what does the kid do? I mean, you get down low to the ground and you make yourself heavy. That's what Pharaoh does in the book of Exodus. And so with every plague, it's God pulling and tugging a little bit more and Pharaoh making himself a little heavier and a little heavier and a little heavier. And what I want us to do is I want us to spend some time looking at the ways in which Pharaoh demonstrates this stubbornness. And so what does stubbornness look like? And I want us to look at it in the life of Pharaoh, and then we'll make some applications at the end for ourselves. So what does stubbornness look like? Whenever I'm making myself heavy, what is it that he did? And the next thing I want us to look at is the reasons why he made himself heavier, the reasons why he continued to be stubborn. And then I want us to see the effects that it had on the people around him. And so we're introduced to this second Pharaoh, presumably, in the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 5. And again, by chapter 4, God has told Moses his plan. This is his will. I want the people to be free. I want them to come and serve me. And so Moses and Aaron, they go to Pharaoh and they say, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness." Again, it's the first time Pharaoh has heard about this God. And I want you to notice his reaction. The first time that Pharaoh, presumably from Moses and Aaron at least, hears about this Jehovah God, Yahweh. Notice his response in verse 2. But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go." I want you to notice that one of the first things that you see in Pharaoh, and in this way that he demonstrates this stubbornness, and this is really even before he starts to really get heavy and really get stubborn here, one of the first things he does is that he questions God's authority. Well, who is this God that I should listen to his voice anyways? Who does this God think he is that he's going to oppose who I am and my will and the way that I want to live and drive my life? Let me tell you, stubbornness oftentimes starts with this. Whenever I'm being stubborn and I'm making myself heavy, kind of like a stubborn heifer, the way that God would describe Israel later on, you know what's going on? Is I'm really truly questioning God's authority. Is God as big and as bad as he says he is that I have to listen to the things that he's telling me to do? And that's how Pharaoh will start. And so as we think about Pharaoh demonstrating his stubbornness against God, it starts with him questioning God's authority. But he doesn't just question God's authority. If you actually look in this verse, it's not just, "Who is the Lord? I don't know the Lord." But that latter part of verse 2, the idea is, and besides, the idea is, even if I knew who this God was, guess what? I'm not doing what he tells me to do. And besides, I will not let Israel go. And so as you see, it's not just he's questioning God's authority, but there is this determinedness in him to get his way. And you'll continue to see that as we continue in the story and as we continue in the life of Pharaoh here. It's not just that Pharaoh is questioning God's authority, because some people, so again, there's two different types of people as far as them being stubborn to God. Some people are stubborn to God because they really don't know who God is. Say, by the time you get to the end here of Pharaoh's life, Pharaoh will know who the Lord is and he'll still be stubborn. It's still not going to change who he is and what he decides to do. Because some people are stubborn for a lack of knowledge. They don't legitimately know God, and so they question God. Some people are stubborn because they know who God is, and they've decided, "You're not going to get me to change. I'm not going to stop doing what I feel like doing. I'm going to live the way that I keep living because I've decided this." And so what you see in Pharaoh, again, is, as you think about the ways in which he demonstrates the stubbornness, he's questioning God's authority. He's got this determinedness to get his way. It continues, and if you read in chapter 5, verses 4 and 9, as he continues the story here, so we skip verse 3, but in verse 4 he'll say, "Get back to your labors." And again, Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are now many, and you would have them cease from their labors. So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters over the people and the foremen, saying, "You are no longer to give the people straw to make brick, as previously. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the quota of the bricks which they were making previously, you shall impose on them, because they're lazy. Therefore they cry out, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Let the labor be heavier on the men." It's interesting, you see that idea there? Pharaoh's making himself heavy, and part of him not wanting the people to go is he wants the labor on them to be heavier. So let the labor on them be heavier, and let them work at it so that they will pay no attention to false words. Notice what Pharaoh's doing here? As you kind of look at Pharaoh trying to buck down and fight against God, it's not just that he questions God's authority. It's not just, "God, you're not going to get your way. But in fact, you think these are your people? I'm going to show you whose people they are. They're my people." And so what he does is that he imposes this harder labor on the people to show his dominance over God's people and over God. Let me tell you, there are some people that in their stubbornness, you'll talk to them about, "This is what God wants you to do." And you think, "That's what God wants me to do? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the opposite. Because that's not my God. And he has no control over me. And I'm my own person, and I make my own decisions, and I'm my own God." And that's really what you're seeing in Pharaoh. But oftentimes, whenever we think that way, and whenever we talk that way, whenever we confront Scripture, and Scripture tells us one thing, and we're doing the other thing, whenever Scripture tells you to behave a particular way, or to believe a particular thing, and you decide, "I hear you, but no, I'm going to do what I feel like doing," this is who we're being. We're being stubborn. You keep going in the story, and there's at this point, God is plaguing Egypt and plaguing Pharaoh. And I want you to notice a few things that happen here. These are probably some of my favorite things that Pharaoh does, because I just think they're kind of ridiculous here. In chapter 8 and in verse 25, he's a few plagues in here. And Pharaoh calls for Moses and for Aaron, and he says, "Go, sacrifice to your God within the land." Later on in chapter 8, verse 28, he says, "I'll let you go that you may sacrifice." Whenever Moses says, "No, we have to leave," in chapters 26 and verses 26 and 27, Pharaoh responds and says, "I'll let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in your wilderness, only don't go very far." Moses rebuffs that, and Pharaoh gets mad, and he gets heavy. "So you're not leaving." In chapter 10, you have a few more plagues. And in chapter 10 and in verse 8, it says, "So Moses and Aaron are brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, 'Go serve the Lord your God.'" But wait, who's going with you? Who's leaving? In chapter 10 and in verse 11, whenever Moses and Aaron says everybody has to go, he says, "Not so. Go now, the men among you, and serve the Lord, for this is what you desire." In chapter 10 and in verse 24, again, we're starting to wrap up with these plagues here. It says, "Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, 'Go serve the Lord.'" And the idea is, take everybody if you want to take everybody, except leave the cattle and leave the animals. It's almost like you have to come back for something. And so only let your flocks and your herds be detained. Even take the little ones. Even the little ones may go with you. What do you see Pharaoh doing here? And really, if you can read the PowerPoint slide, I've got it there. I think the two things that we see of Pharaoh do in these verses to show his stubbornness is that Pharaoh tries to compromise with God. God says, "Let my people go that they," and really at first it was, "Let the people go that they may worship me in the wilderness for 3 days." And Pharaoh's like, "Well, no, not in the 3 days. Maybe you can worship within the land." And Moses, and the message stays the same. I want you to notice, God does not compromise his message. God does not compromise his will and what he wants. God says, "Let the people go that they can serve me." And you'll have Pharaoh a few different times, "But well, can maybe we do this? Or no, okay, maybe can we do that?" And every time, God, the message stays the same. Again, what you're seeing in Pharaoh is this desire to compromise with God. Let me tell you, that's characteristic of stubborn people. Whenever people are being stubborn before God, this is what you try to do. Is God says, "Serve me this way." Well, not exactly that way, but God, can I maybe do this? Or these are specific laws and instructions on any doctrinal issue. And whenever I find myself saying, "Well, God, I don't like that very much. Well, maybe can we do it this way?" There is no compromising with God. God is the creator. This is Jehovah that we're talking about. And anytime I confront Scripture, anytime I go to God's Word, and I'm looking to change or to compromise the situation, I'm being arrogant and I'm being stubborn. But he's not just stubborn here, but you can kind of see him trying to manipulate and control the situation and manipulate and control God's will. I don't like this very much. So you know what? You can leave, but let me tell you who's going to stay. What's he trying to do here? He's trying to kind of add on God's rules. This is what God wants. This is what God said. This is God's desire and God's will. And Moses, and Pharaoh has decided, well, sure, get that, but let me kind of manipulate the situation. You see, manipulative people and people who seek to control situations, particularly with God, are stubborn people. And these are some of the ways that we see Pharaoh demonstrated his stubbornness. Another one, and we're not going to read all these verses here. You have them on the worksheet, so hopefully you have a worksheet. But another one is that you see Pharaoh constantly flip-flopping on his opinion. He'll say, no, go serve God. Go to the wilderness and do what God wants you to do. And then as soon as he sees them kind of leave, again, he gets heavy again. He's like, no, you're not going anywhere. You're staying here. And every time it happens is whenever he receives some sort of relief. In chapter 8, verse 15, it says, when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, whenever the plagues were taken away from him, whenever his life got easier again, he buckled down and he decided to keep being who he was being. You ever met somebody who comes to the Lord because their lives are difficult and they want some sort of relief? Whether that's relief in their marriage or relief from some abuse of something. And then they get that relief, and what do? They go back to being hard. They go back to being heavy and saying, God, I'm not actually going to listen to what you're saying. You're not actually going to change my life. I just wanted this relief. That's the same stubbornness that we see in Pharaoh here. That whenever he wanted to change, whenever he wanted things to get a little bit better, maybe God. And then whenever things got better, he goes back to being who he was. I think the last thing that we see with Pharaoh here, as far as the way, and there's probably a whole lot more, but the last thing that I have up here, in the ways that Pharaoh demonstrates his stubbornness, is that Pharaoh, really from the offset, he was fighting a losing battle, but even after he's lost, Pharaoh is unwilling to repent. And I think you see that in Exodus chapter 14, from verses 6 through 9, you have this notion that this is after you have the 10th plague, after the death of the firstborn, Israel has left. In fact, he's told them, get up, leave immediately, I don't want you here anymore. And then he changes his mind. Again, at this point, he's lost everything. He's lost cattle. He's lost his son. He's had health issues. The Nile has been turned into blood. Everything that has been good and everything good that Egypt had to offer, he lost. And what does he do? He still keeps pushing. He still remains unrepentant. He remains heavier. He remains stubborn to what God wants him to do. And they chase after him. And you know the story. What happens? He goes from losing everything, then he loses his army. And what Pharaoh wanted most, to be God, and Pharaoh becomes a joke, becomes a byword. Don't be like Pharaoh. Is really the idea. We'll see this a little bit later on in the lesson. But whenever Israel, whenever they're meeting other gods, everybody's heard of what God has done to that one guy who tried to stand up to him. Because this is what happens. Whenever I'm being stubborn, these are usually the things that it looks like. Whenever in my life, again, God either has certain instructions or certain rules, or he wants me to live a particular way, or this is God's will in my life, this is God's will for us as a body of believers. Anytime we find ourselves being stubborn and being heavy, and this is what God wants, and I say, no, I want this, like, this is the guy I'm being like. See, there are a lot of, like, Satan-esque characters in the Old Testament. I'm not sure any one of them really resembles Satan as well as Pharaoh does. That's not a good thing to be characterized by. And so you notice these ways in which Pharaoh demonstrates his stubbornness against God, and really, I think one of the questions we need to ask ourselves is why? Like, Pharaoh, why keep fighting this battle that you had no chance to win? And really, if any of you are stubborn, I tend to struggle with this, but like, why? Like, what's the big deal? Why not just give in? Like, why keep fighting? I think one of the reasons is I don't think Pharaoh has ever been challenged in this capacity before. Could you imagine Pharaoh at any point pre-Moses coming to him, somebody coming to him and saying, Pharaoh, you're wrong. Pharaoh, how dare you? Pharaoh, you're not living the right way. Pharaoh, you aren't treating people right. Could you just imagine somebody having the gall of coming to the king of Egypt and threatening him in this way? Coming to the king of Egypt and saying, you know all these slaves that you have? I'm going to take that from you. All that free labor? You're going to suffer. You're going to lose a ton as a nation. Could you just imagine that? Just imagine at this point, and just imagine how shocking it would have been to have had Moses and Aaron come before Pharaoh making these claims and telling them that their God wants these two guys. Moses, where have you been for the last 40 years? They want these two guys to release the people of Israel. I tell you, oftentimes the reason why people continue to be stubborn is because they've never been challenged. And if you ever really read the Bible, if you ever really come before the Lord, you cannot stay the same person. God will challenge you. And God will challenge you. His scripture, His word will challenge you in ways that you've never been challenged before. And it'll be uncomfortable. The question is, what do you do in those moments? And what do you do with those times? I think another thing that we see in Pharaoh is you actually see this in some of the plagues, is that Pharaoh kind of feels like he can do what God does. It's actually the first three plagues. That's the idea. This is on the back of this sheet, as far as if you look at the breakdown of the plagues. The plagues break down in sets of threes. There are three triads. So you have 1 through 3, then it intensifies. Then 4 through 6, then it intensifies. Then you have 7 through 9, and then it ultimately ends with the 10th plague, with the death of the firstborn. And so after the first three plagues, what you have is Pharaoh's magicians or his magical priests, whatever you want to call them, some way through witchcraft and sorcery, is just the best words I can use to describe that, they replicate what's going on. And so you just imagine, God is telling Pharaoh, let the people go, and he turns water to blood. And Pharaoh's like, oh, you can do that, I can do that too. Which, by the way, it would have actually been powerful to remove the water, to remove the blood from the water, not to make more water into blood. The same thing with the frogs. It says his soothsayers replicate what he does. You just imagine, as God is telling Pharaoh to change who he is and to let the people go, Pharaoh's saying, I'm not going to do that. Why would I do that? Because you can do these things. I can do that too. Why would I change the way that you're telling me to live? Because you're telling me that if I listen to your word, that I'll be happy. Well, guess what? If I do what I want to do, I'll be happy anyways. Why would I listen to what you're telling me to do? Because you're telling me I'll have a good marriage. Well, maybe I have a good marriage anyways. You're telling me I'll feel complete. Well, guess what? I feel satisfied and complete anyways. And you can just see people today responding to God in the same way. And people today being heavy and being stubborn. Have you ever tried to go and talk to somebody about God? And about the need for Christianity? And really about the need to change their lives? Oftentimes, this is what I run into. Is, why do I need God? I kind of already have what you're offering me. In my life, through my own channels, I've found that on my own. Why live differently? And I think this is what we see in Pharaoh. I think a third thing, the reason why he continued to make his heart heavy, is just he would not listen to God's voice. After every plague, that's a reoccurring theme. Is he makes himself heavy, is the way that the more literal Hebrew would read it. Is he makes his heart heavy, and he would not listen to the voice of God. And this is the thing with stubborn people. Stubborn people will not listen to you. You know that, right? Like whenever somebody's stubborn, it doesn't matter how many times you tell them something, they're going to still do what they've always done. And if you're somebody... So it's like, good question. How do I know if I'm stubborn or not? If somebody has constantly been telling you the same thing over and over and over and over again, and you've made zero attempts to change, maybe it's because you're not listening. Maybe it's because you're just a stubborn person. I think a fourth thing that you see in Pharaoh, again, we kind of already mentioned this, is that Pharaoh had this God-like complex. At least in his mind he did. He thought he was God. And so the thought that I have to serve and listen to this other God is preposterous to me. And it's ridiculous. But let me tell you the biggest reason why I think Pharaoh continued to make his heart heavier. The biggest reason why I think Pharaoh became stubborn. You know, if you read through the Exodus account and you read through the plagues, there's a shift in the who makes whose heart heavy, or who makes whose heart hard. I think the easiest way, or at least my way of breaking this down, is I think God gives Pharaoh the courage of his conviction. This will be my way of breaking this down. And I'll tell you what I mean by this. Some people believe that God, and I'm going to disagree with this, this is me. Some people believe that God took Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, you have no option but to harden yourself. You have no option but to be this person, and whether you want to or not, this is who you're going to be, and I'm going to destroy you. I don't think that's what's going on here. In fact, if you read it, the first four plagues, Pharaoh decides to... It reads, Pharaoh hardens his heart, then you have God hardens his heart, then you have Pharaoh hardens his heart again, then you have three times God hardens Pharaoh's heart before Pharaoh ultimately hardens his heart again. And this is, I think, the point. I think God knew Pharaoh was already like this. God didn't make Pharaoh difficult. The same instructions that God gave Pharaoh a few chapters ago, you know who God gave them to? To Moses. The idea of going out and letting the people go and helping the people. That's the instructions God gave Moses. Well, what's the difference? The difference is who Pharaoh was. And it's not that God is forcing people to serve him or forcing people to not serve him, because there's this idea, this irresistible grace. If there's irresistible grace, then on the flip side, there's this notion that there's this irresistible punishment or condemnation coming upon some people. And some people think that that's what's happening to Pharaoh here. I don't think that's the idea. I think Pharaoh was already convicted to not let the people go. I think Pharaoh was already in himself convicted that he was God, that no one was going to tell him to live the way that he wanted to live. And so whenever he was confronted with somebody who challenged that, who challenged him, who challenged his life, all he does is he buckles down and he says no. And with ourselves, I can't say, well, God made me this way. I can't change even if I wanted to. That's false. And in different situations, in different scenarios, all I'm doing is I'm deciding, I don't want to change. I want to be like this. And this is what we see with Pharaoh, is that God, again, God is giving him the conviction, the courage for his convictions. Here's some opportunities, Pharaoh, for you to really show me who you are. And in those times, whenever God challenges us, how do we respond? You know, what's your, and really the idea is, what's your conviction in those moments? Is it to serve you or to serve God? And so as you look at these reasons that he continued to be stubborn, I want you to notice it wasn't just that Pharaoh was stubborn and that his stubbornness only affected him. Because this is the idea. Pharaoh's stubbornness had effects on other people, or the heavy heart is heavy on the people around him. I think that's a pretty easy way of remembering what's going on here. Because of Pharaoh's stubbornness, Pharaoh makes the life of the people around him significantly more difficult. I mean significantly more difficult. You read the plagues. Were the plagues just on Pharaoh? Or were they on all of the people of Egypt? Really, it's because it started up top, because this guy decided to be arrogant and he decided to not change. You notice how it affects everyone around him. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 7 to show you this here real quick. In Exodus 7 from verses 21 through 23, you've had the water being turned to blood. And again, if you're in Egypt, Egypt is a desert. And your livelihood, your life source is the Nile River. And imagine God, this God of this guy, Moses and Aaron, he turns your life source from water into blood. And notice Pharaoh's reaction here in verse 21. It says, the fish that were in the Nile died, and the Nile became foul, so the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile. And the blood was through all the land of Egypt. But the magicians of Egypt did the same with their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, or it was made heavy. And he did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Verse 23. Notice verse 23, because this is what a stubborn person does. Verse 23. It says, then Pharaoh turned and went into his house with no concern even for this. Could you imagine? This is the guy, your champion. This is your king. This is your ruler. This is your guy. Can you just picture the scene there? As you have Egyptians quite literally around the Nile digging, trying to find water. Your people. What was God doing for his people? He was getting ready to free them. For your people, you think you're a God. And what does he do? He turns around and he goes home because he doesn't care. He's got a point he's getting ready to prove. Let me tell you, stubborn people are like this. Stubborn people do not care about how their they don't care about how their thoughts and how their mistakes affect the people around them. You want to know you want to know the effects of a stubborn person? Don't just look at them. Look at their family. Look at their friends. Look at their coworkers. Because whenever somebody is, particularly whenever somebody has a heart that's heavy before God, it doesn't just ruin them; it ruins the people around them. You see the same thing in chapter 8, in all these plagues, and really the idea is in these verses up here. All these plagues, you see how it affects the people around them. When you are around people who are stubborn, it will not just ruin you. And that's really the selfishness of stubbornness. Is that you don't care about other people. You just care about you. And you proving your point. And so he makes the life of those around him significantly more complicated. But even, it's interesting, because even his servants are telling him, they're almost like, just acknowledge God. In chapter 8, in verses 18 through 19, at this point we're at the fourth plague. And he tries to get them, his magicians tried with their secret arts to bring forth the gnats, and they could not. Sorry, this is the third one. And they could not. The third plague here. And they say clearly, this is the finger of God. You have Pharaoh's servants acknowledging, the people around him, who, by the way, they weren't necessarily servants of God. These are Egyptians who are saying clearly, this is the finger of God. In chapter 9, in verses 20 through 21, this is what, whenever you have the plague of the hail, you have even the ones amongst Pharaoh's servants who feared the word of the Lord made his servants and his livestock flee into the houses. Even in chapter 9, you'll end up having some of the Egyptians, they're like, well, forget what Pharaoh's saying. We're going to believe this Moses guy because of the things we've already seen. In chapter 10 and verses 7 and verse 8, the idea in the picture there is that the Egyptians and really Pharaoh's courtiers, they go to him and they say, look, how long are we going to let this guy be a snare to us? Let him go. Stop. Like, why are you letting this continue to happen to us? And I think part of the idea is, as you think about the effects of stubbornness and the effects of heaviness and being heavy of heart, it's not just that you're going to make the lives of those around you worse. But see, at some point, even the people around you who aren't living right, even they'll notice how ridiculous your life is. They'll notice how different your life is. You have his servants, and they're not just saying this is God, but they're even starting to change the things that they're doing because, Pharaoh, your life is a wreck. And oftentimes that's what happens whenever you have stubborn people who don't want to listen to God's word, and they just entrench themselves into going against what God wants for their lives. You even have the people around them saying, your life is terrible. You've lost. Why are you still fighting this battle? Why are you still trying to keep going against what God wants for you? You clearly, the outcome does not look good for you here. And that's what his servants try to get him to acknowledge. But not just that, but you get to chapter 9 and verses 33 and 34, and really in chapters 14 after the plagues are done and they're into the Red Sea. I think another effect that you see of Pharaoh is that Pharaoh causes his people to sin, and ultimately he causes a large number of his people to die. See, this is probably the scariest part about stubborn people, is that whenever someone is stubborn before God and refuses to change and refuses to repent, it doesn't just make your life difficult, and it doesn't just lead you to destruction, but you will end up leading other people to destruction. Think about all the Egyptians that died because of Pharaoh's stubbornness. Think about all the army that was swept away in the sea because Pharaoh said, why did I let these people go? How dare I listen to this God? Now think about all the people that, because of your stubbornness, that are going to be lost. Think about all the times that you refuse to do what God wants you to do. All the time, and regardless of what that is, you can fill in the blank what that is for you. For some people, it's worship. Some people, they just decide, I don't have to be here. This isn't me. Obviously, you're here, so. For some people, it's a certain doctrinal issue. For some people, you fill in the blanks. For some people, it's a particular thing in their life, a particular sin that they have to give up. And they decided, I'm not going to do this. I don't care. I'm going to keep being this person. What you've got to realize is that you don't just make people's lives difficult. You're not just destroying yourself, but eventually you might be leading them to destruction as well. And at what point does it justify you proving whatever point that you think is so big and so grand to prove? So you see how he causes his people to sin, but he also loses everything. Because of his stubbornness, because of who he is, he ends up losing his possessions. He loses the livestock, he loses the crops, he loses everything. His health is affected, he ends up having boils. I mean, he loses his army, he loses his son. Could you imagine, I mean, for those of you who are parents, you understand this a whole lot more fully than I'll ever be able to, at least for right now, that I'll be able to explain this. Could you imagine, you're trying so hard to prove some point that you lose your child? And could you imagine spiritually? You're trying so hard to prove some spiritual, or that some point that you're the man, or that you're the woman, that you're the head honcho, that your child gets lost. And again, at what point is the point that you're trying to prove so great that it's worth all of these effects? And eventually what he becomes is, he becomes a lesson for the stubborn of Canaan. And whenever you read the book of Numbers, you have Balak in particular, he hears about what God did to these people. And he's like, hey, try to go curse those people because we heard about what he did to Egypt. But then you get to the book of Joshua and you have Rahab talking to the spies. And it says, we've heard about what God did to Egypt, and it's filled us with fear. And you know what you don't see in Rahab's life? You don't see her trying to rebel and trying to fight and trying to be stubborn against what God wants. You don't see Rahab saying, "No, God, you're not coming in here. This is what I want." Because she's seen what God has done. She's seen the effects on stubborn people. And the part of the point that I want to make with this is, you don't have to be stubborn to see the effects of stubbornness. You've seen it in people's lives. And so as we wrap up here, these are a few thoughts I want you to think about as we finish here. With people that are stubborn or with the heavy heart here. First thing you need to realize is that stubbornness is idolatry. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, whenever Samuel is talking to Saul, in chapter 15 verse 23, what he'll tell him is that stubbornness is a form of idolatry. Because think about it, when you're being stubborn, what are you saying? What I'm saying is, God, what you want doesn't matter. It's what I want that matters. So if ever I am changing what God wants with what I want, what am I saying? That God and I are on equal playing field. We've got to realize that every time that I'm being stubborn, what I'm saying is that this better be true. That whatever it is that you're championing, whatever it is that you're standing up for, it better have the same value for the things that God wants in your life and for the person that God wants you to be. You better be on God's level here if you're going to find yourself being rebellious towards Him. Because that's what stubbornness is. It's idolatry. But it's not just idolatry. Whenever people are stubborn, they oftentimes are willing to admit fault but refuse actual change. That's what you see with Pharaoh oftentimes in these plagues, is that he'll admit, truly this time I've sinned. Or, you know what? Fine, take the people away because I'm tired of hurting. And he admits some fault, but he never actually changes. He never actually repents. And people that are stubborn are oftentimes this way. That in the moment, they feel remorse, but never really repentance. And if I only ever feel remorse for the mistakes that I did, or for the things that I said, or for the sins that I committed, if it's only just remorse and never repentance and never real change, I'm being stubborn because I'm unwilling to let things go. I think a third point that we see is that people who are stubborn will be broken. And it may not happen in this lifetime, but I guarantee that every person who finds themselves being stubborn before God, you will be humble. Whether it's this day or like when Marty was preaching this morning, or on the day of judgment, on the last day, everybody who has ever stood up and defied God will be broken and will be humbled. So again, the idea is, do you think that you have enough chips on your side that you can go and play with God? I don't think so. And so as I think about my life and I think about who I am, does it really benefit me? Does it behoove me to be stubborn against who God wants me to be and to be stubborn against God's will? The answer is no. Because eventually, and this is what God wanted for Pharaoh, and after every few plagues, this is actually what God says to Pharaoh through Moses. He says, you're going to acknowledge that I am the Lord. You're going to acknowledge that I'm God. Because eventually, everybody will. Eventually, there's going to come a day, not just when God strikes and humbles the stubborn, but there will come a day where God will show himself to all people and everybody, every knee will bow down and say that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee will bow down and acknowledge that God is who he says he is. And by the way, every knee isn't just all the knees who obeyed God, it's even the knees who disobeyed God. Everybody will see God for who he really is and see themselves for who they really are. The idea here is that God's will, we started off with that notion that God, like with God's will in the Exodus, God's will got done. God's will always get done. Whether you're Pharaoh or Moses in that story is completely contingent on you. Who you decide to be and where you decide to fall depends on how you behave towards God's will. Again, if you read Exodus 3 and 4, Moses did not want to do God's thing anyways. He didn't want to either. And he complains and he comes up with these excuses, and eventually he realizes God isn't relenting on this. He's going to get this done. Pharaoh has that same dilemma, but because of his heaviness, because of his stubbornness, he is unwilling to change and unwilling to repent. If you're here this evening, I don't know what you have going on in your life. I don't. You know what you've got going on in your life. You know whatever that thing is, that whenever it's you versus God and it's either this sin, maybe if you're here this evening and you're not a Christian and you know that you need to be, You know who God is. You know what God expects of you. And you've just decided, no, I'm going to keep making myself heavy. I'm going to keep refusing to be the person that God wants me to be. Again, only do that. This is my encouragement for you. Do that if you think you can actually beat God. By the way, if you think you can actually beat God, come and talk to me, because you can't. So I'll try to talk you out of that. But the idea is, you can't. Maybe you're here this evening and you're a Christian and but you haven't actually been serving God. You've put up these walls, these barriers. You've been making yourself heavy. You haven't stopped some sin that you've needed to stop. Or you're believing something or following something that you know you have no business believing or following. Stop. Like, break that down before God breaks it for you. If we can help you in any way, please, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.